when it comes to advertising, you can either advertise on the email or buy an entire email of your own, which will be written by me, and I will be a content filter. You can't just buy your way, anybody can't just buy their way, and it's got to be something strong in the Birmingham area, and it will have the same tone of voice that the email has, but you'll own the entire email. But that will be very clearly flagged up, and that's something you don't get in Birmingham, particularly in Birmingham magazines. They blend editorial with advertorial without ever telling you when you come in and out of the other. London, it's very, very focused on making sure people know when it's paid for content and when it's not. So I'll be taking that model here.
Are there any laws or regulations you've got to follow in terms of email publishing along those lines, declaring that this is sponsored content?
I believe that they are, that it is legal that you have to declare it, but I think people are overlooking it, and it falls into a grey area for whose responsibility it is to make sure people do that. And I think it's now fallen to the Advertising Standards Agency Authority. They've accepted that they'll take this one on, but it's still in a transitional period, so people can still bend the rules on it, which I think is unwise.
It's a bit similar to Twitter is overseen by the ASA as well, isn't it? If you have a tweet that someone has paid you to tweet.
Yeah, absolutely. And Facebook rules are even stricter than Twitter rules, I believe. I think Facebook are coming down on it very hard. I think it's just a case of being as honest as possible. But people tend to be very receptive. If it's good content, they accept that every now and then an ad is going to drop in or an ad is going to be placed there, and that's fair enough because it is free and it is decent.
To complete the question from Paul about the story about the best burger in town, for instance, how do you check the fact
that it's the best in town? It's a good question. That's opinion. It all comes down to convincing people you have the authority to say that it's the best. And if that's not me, then I would go to Richard McComb, who's a food columnist who's lived in Birmingham for a very long time, and he would tell me where the best burger in town is. So a huge element of this is using experts that aren't me.
Because you can be attacked by the other the places where they sell burgers and they are not considered by your story.
Absolutely right. And then you can go to them and say, right, prove it. I'm coming down to your restaurant tomorrow. And if it really is that good, in next week's issue, we'll say, hold on, we've found an even better burger.
So you'll win every time.
I eat every time.
For free.
Sorry, what's your readers' target?
So I don't want to be too explicit on that, but if I'm not in the tens of thousands within...
No, I mean your typical reader.
Okay, ABC1, male and females, with some cash to spend. They're energised and motivated. They want to explore the city. Mm-hmm. As I said, they're between 18 and 40, but... focusing in a little bit more, they're probably 25 to 30. I think that probably...
You mentioned to me previously that the only information you'll take at sign-up is gender.
Yeah.
So how are you going to collect more information in order to be able to tell advertisers that they are ABC1 or how much disposable income they have?
So the sign-up page is deliberately simple. The more questions you ask someone, the more opportunities they've got to decide not to sign up. So I'm only asking two things. What's your email address and what sex? That way I can then speak to advertisers in a few months' time and say, if you only want to target the women, we can only target the women. If you only want to target the men, we can only target the men. And that goes editorially as well. If I want to talk about something that's predominantly male-focused, like the Midlands area's greatest ales, I can choose to send that to only men if I want. If it's a female fashion story, courtesy of Selfridges, I can choose to send it to women only. But then there'll become a time, you're absolutely right, where I'll need to know my demographic in much more detail than that. And what you do is you So if I choose one of my advertorial slots, my Tuesday or Thursday slot, and send out with a questionnaire on, and on that occasion, perhaps you can win a set of headphones if you give me a bit more detail. And hopefully they love the brand anyway, so they're happy to give those details over. Then you start delving in a bit more about age, postcode, and these sorts of things. Then you've got a much bigger database to go to advertisers and say, I know exactly who they are. But originally, it's much more about the arena that the email's in, and making sure it looks nice and it looks the part and it feels high-end. And then you will get the right sign-ups through that.
I mean, it strikes me that you could... if you have a Facebook page, for example, you could potentially find out those details through that by proxy almost.
You're doing my job for me. Yeah absolutely. yeah. I have to admit, the social area is one where I'm lacking. So I'm very good with tone and content. I'm a strong editor and I know how to drive traffic. My weaknesses are social, the technical side of social, certainly not the tone, and advertising. So I'm entirely from an editorial background. I learned a lot about advertising in the last 12 years, but I'm still not the person that sells advertising brilliantly. So they're my big question marks, my big concerns at the moment. Everything else takes care of itself. I've got that sorted. But I know that these are the two areas that have those big question marks hanging over them. So if Facebook is a way of doing that, I didn't know that. So, you know, those are the gaps I need to fill. I need to find someone who's a social media god who can say, it's much easier on Facebook, Tom, why are you doing it like this?
Is that something you've already planned then, the social media things? It sounds like something you're kind of open to exploring at the moment rather than actually in the process.
It's not planned. It's on the back burner because the bigger fish to fry are the subscriber base. But I wouldn't put it on the back burner to the point to a fault. It needs to be explored sooner rather than later. But I guess I need to have some cash coming in so that I have the resources to start looking away from the email and towards social, or away from the email and towards expanding in some way. One thing we haven't talked about that I'll just touch on very briefly is the content and the tone. Email is very different to magazines and very different to websites. It's kind of a bizarre hybrid. So if you have a read of Mr. Hyde, or you have a read of I Choose Birmingham, or you have a read of Emerald Street, or another one called The Nudge, you'll notice that there's a features kind of tone of voice to it, but it can often be looking at a newsy story. Because you're a daily, you can be newsy, but you never write it in the standard newspaper format. You've always got to bring colour and tone of voice into it. The very best people at this are a daily football email called The Fiver, which is run by The Guardian newspaper. And the tone of voice, it's like another language. If you land on it for the first time, you won't have a clue what they're talking about. But 2 weeks in, you suddenly get what each reference means and you feel part of a club. And that's the key to an email, is having a very distinct tone of voice that makes people feel part of a club.